was hearing a few things this morning as we were worshiping, and they seem a little scattered, so I'll do the best I can with just saying what I was hearing. First of all, I heard course correction, course correction. Maybe some of us need to make a course correction. If you continually go in the same direction and it doesn't get you where you're going, then a course correction is required. As humans, we have a part of us that's just insane. We like certain routines and patterns, and we continue doing the same thing over and over, even though it doesn't work. I remember quite a few years ago when I had my motorcycle shop, and I had, I learned some things. I learned some wacky belief systems, and I'm talking about really anti-word, anti-Bible. And in my business, I was struggling financially, and I decided that I would take. At the time, I didn't think it was a wacky belief system, and but that's what I was learning. And I would show up at my business early before we open, and I would walk around it, and I would just command money to come. Why are you laughing at me? And I would do, some gyrations and stuff like that, and it didn't take too long to figure out wasn't working. Now, I will say this. If the Lord specifically speaks to you to do something like that or to speak or decree, that's one thing. But to learn some kind of, it was really witchcraft, incantation. And here's the main point, and Renee really pointed this out and beat me to death with it, but beat me to life. That's a better way to say it. She said, well, are you giving? Oops. Are you giving? Are you tithing? Are you sowing seed? Are you doing what the word says? Or are you just doing the incantations over here? If our strategy and belief system that we have isn't working, first and foremost, we must line up what our belief system and what we're believing. Is it really word? Is it Bible? Is it really the way Jesus did things? And it's really amazing that through my life with the Lord up to this point of how many things I've learned, however I learned them, I'm not going to blame anybody for teaching me. I'm responsible for my own growth and my own. So I've learned certain things, whether I've interpreted it incorrectly, I've listened to people without going to the way, however I learned those or you learned them. Believed certain things, and I remember this so clearly that, and I don't remember how long I did this, what I was telling you about with my business, before I began to start just giving and seeing it really turn around. But I remember walking, and I was doing this, and it was like the prodigal son pig pen moment where I came to myself, and I was like, you know what, this ain't working. It's just, this is not, what I'm doing isn't working. And you know, sometimes that can be a very humbling thing. Especially if you've believed something that's been incorrect for years. And you hold it dear. And sometimes our faith, our trust, is in our strategy. It's in what we're doing and really not in the Lord. So it's misplaced. And when it's misplaced, it's even harder to break. You following me with this? So I didn't know what to do. Of course, you know, I didn't want to talk about giving or hear giving or just didn't want to go there. And no, I am not ready to take up an offering. I'm not even. So relax. The buckets are where they're always at. You're free to give or not give. That's between you and the Lord. You want to be blessed or not? That's between you and the Lord. I'm just saying. His name is great. We were singing that song, His name is great in all the earth. And I heard the Lord say this to me, and I engraved my name on you. Gave me chills again just thinking about it. We have some books out in the foyer in boxes out there. If you like books, want books, they're free. Take all of them. Be great. And we will help you carry them out. So help yourself to the books. Also want to let you know we have installed a few surveillance cameras inside the building. So just wanted to let you know that. So if you're walking down the hallway and nobody's around and you're picking your nose, somebody's watching, like Lee or Rich back there. Just wanted to let you know. They're not in the bathrooms, no. And I want to let you know, we installed these cameras really not to keep an eye on us, but, you know, we want to do everything we can to provide security for us, for the adults, and also for the kids. The way our building is laid out, that's why we keep this back door locked now. So we funnel everybody through the front, and now we have, there's two cameras in the hallway, so we see who's coming in the front door, we see who's in the hallway, and there's one camera right now downstairs. We have five more cameras that are with this system that we can add, but just wanted to let you know so you're aware of them, because most of the time the cameras, and I've even mentioned it to people, and that you don't see it. If you're not looking for a camera, you don't see it, and just so you know that we have them. And we are conscious of the security, especially like Wednesday night, since we don't have people watching and things. And that's why we keep this door up here locked and the doors open, just so we can keep an eye on what's going on. Is that good? Everybody all right with that? Did everybody get a handout when they came out? It said the Jula language on it. Can I borrow that one? Or either one of them? Thank you. I wanted to mention this to you. You know, there's so many wonderful works going on in the world today. There really is. There really is. You know, the harvest is among us. It really is. We may not be seeing it in our neighborhood or in our town like it's going to be, but other parts of the world, it's trickling. It's happening. There's an amazing amount of harvest going on with the Muslims peoples right now and different pockets all over. It's beginning to build some momentum. At the same time, and I've been preaching this for some time, because I believe the Bible tells us this, I also believe we're at least in the beginnings of a great falling away in the body of Christ too. There are people that are following doctrines of demons like never before, getting off, so far off track, and so we're seeing that. I believe that, and it's been prophesied by several prophets. There's been a plumb line that has dropped. And by the actions and decisions of God's people is determining on what side they're on, are the ones that are really with the Lord and the ones that are not. And so it's an interesting, unique time we're in. So we see this falling away that has been happening, and that's also been picking up some steam, and we see a great harvest that's among us at the same time. And I believe that it's just going to be becoming more and more and just really grow. into that. And there's so many works of unity going all over. And if you have this, I wanted to point this out and talk about it for just a minute. There is, and we've talked about some of these things before, but I know some people haven't really been with us, but a lot of missions groups, missions ministries, and people that are involved in world missions and seeing the Great Commission fulfilled in our lifetime have come together and are working together in unity like never before. It is an amazing thing. And a lot of these groups that are involved with Bible translation, like Wycliffe, the Seed Company, Faith Comes by Hearing, and others, they also are working together to get every language, every known language from every tribe in written and in oral form. And they can do it in our lifetime. It's just an amazing thing that's happening. And so we got connected with Faith Comes by Hearing through the Sending Project here in Kansas City. And the Sending Project, a friend of mine started that ministry 6 years ago. And their mission is to connect the body of Christ in Kansas City in mission, both locally and foreign. And man, that ministry has just exploded. And it's amazing on both sides of the state line and how churches are coming together and working together. And so it was through them we got connected with Faith Comes by Hearing. Faith Comes by Hearing, and that's more specifically what this paper is about. Faith Comes by Hearing, their ministry is translating the Bible, specifically New Testaments, but they have others, translating the Bible orally for oral cultures. There are so many oral cultures out there. They don't have the written language, and that's how they communicate orally. And they're really tied with Wycliffe. So when Wycliffe translates a Bible, you know, a written, they'll take that and begin to do it orally. They have quite a few languages that are ready to go. And really all they need is the financing to get that done. And we've talked about that. And if you want some more information, I can get that to you. It's an amazing ministry. They're doing stuff that's just crazy stuff with technology. They've got satellites in the air now. They're using SD chips. You don't even have to smuggle a Bible in. You can smuggle it in by cards. They've already developed these satellites that are 1 foot long by 4 inches by 4 inches that can be launched from an airplane that have every Bible on it. And as it goes across orbit, if you have your cell phone or something programmed, it'll automatically download it. I mean, governments can't stop this stuff that's happening now. It's just an amazing thing. And so, they mentioned about some of their languages that they're doing, and I really felt so impressed. I mean, Scott and I were in a meeting where Morgan Jackson, the guy that runs the ministry, was sharing these proclaimers, and I mean, I was just so overwhelmed and so connected. I was like, man, we've got to be a part of that somehow. And then as things develop, they have these languages, and they've got a few languages, like I said, that are waiting for financing, and they're ready to go with it. And actually what I did, too, is because I asked them, I said, do you have Moroccan Arabic? Do you have an oral translation of Moroccan Arabic? And they said, no, we don't. We lost our translator and stuff. And I said, well, I happen to know somebody that is fluent in Moroccan Arabic and that's in Morocco. And so I connected him and Amy together. And they just happen to have a recording studio, by the way. And so we've connected them, and we'll see where that all kind of goes and develops. And so anyway, we chose the Jula language of the Ivory Coast in Africa. Ivory Coast is on the west side, on the coast of Africa. And the Jula people have a peculiar language, and a little over 2.5 million people speak that language. And 95% of those people are Sunni Muslim, and they have no access to the Bible in their own language. So we jumped on this to help. We're going to be, New Covenant is going to be the anchor church for Kansas City area. And the Sending Project, myself, we're going to get the word out to other congregations and churches. I'm going to ask you to prayerfully consider this. It takes $35,000 per language to record orally. If you haven't already, they have an app. Faith Comes by Hearing has an app. We have information out on the foyer. It's just Bible.is that you can get an app for your iPhone or your Android. Just check that out, if nothing else. Download the app and listen to it. It's not the old cassette monotone voice. There's voice inflection. It is like listening to a drama, a play. There's different voices for different people. They do great work. And it's very engaging. Occasionally, I'll listen to scripture as I'm working out, you know, and just listen to that and get scripture going over and over. The word is so powerful. I love now how the word is satellite. It is defeating the prince of the power of the air all around the globe now. And to be part of the world harvest and seeing the Great Commission. And we can do that. We can do this part. We can jump in there. So I would like for you, the reason why we gave this is just to prayerfully consider. I mean, if you can only give a dollar, that's whatever the Lord is putting on your heart to give towards this. We want to give until it is done and paid for and see it completed and have that completed. And so I'm going to ask you too, because we're believers in the seven mountains, that maybe you might want to present this in your workplace or with your friends or with whatever you're at and just say, hey, this is going on in Kansas City. Explain it to them. Would you like to be a part of this to see this happen? Okay. So we're going to continue our congregation, we're going to give a lump of sum of money. We've already put $5,000 aside for this project to kick it off. We're going to hand it to them this coming Wednesday, and they're going to start the project right away. They're ready. So this is moving, and it's going. Yes.
So if we put the money in the envelope, would you want
it? Yeah, just if you want to write maybe just Jula on it, would that be good? Just Jula? Yeah. So, and what will happen too, since we're going to be the anchor church for Kansas City, other churches or people that want to, they're going to contact us and we'll collect the money, and then the money's going to go to Faith Comes by Hearing. Okay, so we'll just be kind of a channel for that to help send it. And then also to pray for this and pray for those people that the work will help lead them to Christ, but also that God would send laborers there and that we would just see a revival of these 2.5 million people coming to Christ. Amen. Praise God. I'm excited about that because it's such a great opportunity to be part of the harvest, part of seeing the Great Commission fulfilled, getting beyond ourselves. It's not just here in Independence. You know what? You know, when Jesus said to go into all the world, you know, and it's like Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the earth. You know, a lot of times we interpret that, and I've talked with other leaders and stuff. It's like, well, we have so many problems here. Let's face here. But, you know, Jesus never said it's an either or. It's a both and. It's not just here, it's here and there. It's both. And we can be a part of whatever, you know, the Lord is leading us to do. And you know, the world has a thought a belief system too that, you know, like if you're depressed, you probably heard this, you're depressed, you're not feeling good, go volunteer somewhere and give, focus on somebody else. And give to that, and it's amazing how the healing comes to you. Why? Because you're getting your focus off of self all of the time. And so that, in a way, that's part of this too. We do have a lot of problems in this country. We've got a lot of issues still in this city, and I'm talking about the greater Kansas City. But these people don't even have Bibles. We can go to stores, you know, within just a couple miles here and get any kind of color, flavor, translation we want. But some people don't have access at all. And so, and I really believe that one of the reasons, you know, certain congregations flourish like that is because they are engaged in the harvest, in the Great Commission. Let me put it that way, engaged in the Great Commission. They're not just focused on here and my house and what's going on here. So again, it's not an either or, it's a both and of that. It's just Bible.is. Bible.is. And I would just encourage you to go to Faith Comes by Hearing's website and see all the different stuff that they have. It's amazing. They've got it in some countries where the old dial phones, there's certain numbers you can call and just dial the number on a phone and listen to the Bible. I mean, they've got all kinds of different crazy stuff that in using technology to get the Word of God out there. And I just love the Word. I mean, the Word is just, it's powerful, and that's what sets us free. The Lord, because Jesus is the Word. Praise God. I was reminded recently a little bit about authority. I really want to get into, I don't know if we'll have time today, but I want to get into some more stronghold, getting delivered from some strongholds. But I was reminded, I was sharing with somebody just last night about our trip to Honduras. And when I was talking about the very last service that we were there, and, you know, we had the girls that were manifesting demonically, and there were so many things going on. I mean, the pastor of the church, his sister had just died that night, and, you know, we're out there. I mean, there was a chaos and things happening that night. And but I remember, you know, when I was because I was on the front row, and that girl was right in front of me, and I've mentioned this before, and, you know, they're being wrestled on the ground, and I'm like, man, I don't want any part of that. And I've done that before. Bad experiences. I don't want to be involved in that. But it was an interesting time for me because, and this is what I was remembering, because spiritual authority was so pronounced to me that night in a very vivid way. It was like, you know, when you know things, but then when you actually experience the things that you know, it just really comes alive. And it was like that for me that night because I made the decision, like, I'm not going to get involved in that. It doesn't work, you know. I'm not going to get all dirty and hot and sweaty on the ground wrestling this girl. And I'm having conversations with the Lord, and I'm watching stuff, and I really felt very impressed by the Lord that I didn't have any authority to do that anyway. And I'm thinking, you know, and I really try to function within authority. Like, you know, we've explained this before. Like, I don't have authority in Honduras, but since we go as a team and Henry's there and he has authority and we submitted to his authority, we now have authority because he's got authority. And that's how kind of things work in the spiritual realm, that authority. As we're submitted rightly under the one that does have authority, we don't have authority until they delegate it to us. And it's the same thing with Jesus. And we just need to be careful that we're just not half-cocked and start doing things and just because, well, I'm a Christian and I'm a son of God. No, we can only function as we are submitted to his authority over our life. And we're hearing what he has to say, then we can function in that authority. Is that making sense? I'm not sure I can. No, I'm just kidding. As we're submitted to the Lord and we're under his authority, then we're hearing what he has to say. And when he speaks to us about whatever issue it might be, as we're submitted to him, he's delegating his authority to us. And when we say it or do it, act on it, then it has just as much authority as if he said it or if he did it. But until then, we don't have it. We don't just have it in and of ourselves. Now, hold on to that thought for just a minute. I was invited to speak Friday morning with a group of leaders in Kansas City. And there's so many cool things that are happening in Kansas City. I didn't even know this group existed. And almost everybody that was at the group, there was just 8 leaders there. I've met them all at one time. And some of them I knew really well. And they invited me to speak about my book, about Ecclesia. And 4 out of the 8 had already read the book, which was fun because I didn't have to start at ground zero. I can kind of dig into it. And so they invited me to come to speak. There were 2 speakers, and the lady went first, and then it was my turn, and we had 30 minutes each. And I shared for 30 minutes, and like I said, it was fun because I didn't have to start at just like, you know, basics. I can kind of jump in it a little bit. And they were so intent. I've never had really this intense kind of situation that leaders wanted to know more. They asked for me to stay. They said, whoever can stay, would you stay? So my 30 minutes turned into 2 hours of sharing about Ecclesia. And it was just, for me, I was so excited that they wanted to know more. Because I don't find that very often, you know, with people. It's like, you know, they'll read the book or you talk about it. It's like, oh, that was a good book, or that, you know, you made some great points. And that's about as far as it goes. So they were, and then, I mean, they're looking at me. And the only reason it stopped at 2 hours is some of them said, man, I've got to go. I've got an appointment, but we need to carry on this conversation. And I was talking about authority within that. And one of the guys that was there, he had a question about keys. And he said, what are the keys? And so we talked about that a little bit, but I was reminded again in Scripture where Jesus says, I'm going to give you keys of the kingdom. And he didn't use that. This word wasn't translated, but he says, for binding and loosening. That was the very next thing he said. For whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. And when you bind something, what, you know, most of you know this, that those are law terms, like the binding of a contract. But here's the word that came to me as I was talking about, and it put a little bit of a different tweak on it, and I saw the connection with the strongholds we're talking about. And it just kind of came out of my mouth, and it was like, whoa, that was a good word. I wish I'd have thought of that word. It's a basic word, and wrote that word. Because for me, it just kind of, hey, and I saw that connection with the strongholds. And I said this, I said, when we hear from God, God releases keys to us to loose previously made agreements. Or to bind his will to make a divine agreement. And I was like, you see, because some of the strongholds, we're talking about the strongholds of the mind, right? These thinking patterns that aren't in line with truth, with the Word of God. These belief systems, these concepts, these things that the way we just think about things that have really lent themselves to a place that evil has access because they're not truth. And so in our thought life, we have made agreements with certain belief systems and structures that's not divine. And these thought structures, systems, opinions, and attitudes need to be loosed. And as we are loosening these structures that are contrary to truth in the Word, we need to also make legally binding agreements with the Lord Himself. Because you never cast out a demon and leave the place vacant. It has to be filled with Christ, with the Holy Spirit. Other words, what happens? I reread this scripture, the one we were just referencing again, and a word jumped out at me. Matter of fact, why don't we read it? I can't even recall where it's at without looking here. Let's look at Luke 11. Because there's something else. You still holding on to the authority aspect? That's good, because I almost forgot it. Let me just share on that for a second again about the authority. So we go back to that last night in Honduras at the church, and I'm sensing like there's nothing I can do because authority hadn't been delegated to me yet. Which it wasn't just me, it was like our team. Our team has not received the authority. And after everything went on, and those who were there, if you remember, the pastor there was talking, and I can't remember the words he said, but he looked at me, and what he did was he just delegated at that moment. And he turned the service over to us. And I've never sensed this like that before. It was almost like that authority just went Like, I felt that. And I felt like, okay, now we can go. So I was reminded of that and was just trying to figure out what the Lord was really saying about that particularly. So let's look in Luke chapter 11. We'll begin with, let's just begin with verse 14. Let's back up to there and we'll read through a little bit. And it says, and he, meaning Jesus, was casting out a demon, and it was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds were amazed. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. Others, to test him, were demanding of him a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, he knew their thoughts. I like that. Verse 17. He knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. And a house divided against itself falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if I, by Beelzebul, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? So they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. I like that too. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are undisturbed. But when someone stronger than he attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away, notice this, he takes away from him all his armor, on which he relied. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about demons. When that demon is guarding his house and his possession, he's undisturbed. But when somebody stronger comes and overtakes him, overpowers him, strips him of his what? Armor. And what were the demons doing? Relying on armor. They have to have armor. They need to have armor to rely on. So a huge key for us is, what are demonic armor? We've already been talking about it. Because once you remove the armor, just like we were talking about earlier, once you remove their habitation, once you remove their food source and what they are relying on, this is Jesus talking. He takes away from him all of his armor in which he relied and distributes his plunder. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Now, verse 24, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking something. He's talking about demonic spirits. And what did Jesus say demonic spirits are seeking? I don't know why, but this just never really hit me like it did just this last week. They're seeking a place to rest. You see, when those girls were manifesting, we can say, man, that's a demonic spirit. But when spirits are at rest, they're not as easy to detect. Which makes them cloak themselves in their armor to remain hidden and undetectable. These demons pass through waterless places and they're seeking some place to rest. Some place, a house, he calls it, that they can enter, take up habitation, and be at rest. That's fascinating to me. If they find no place that they can rest, they go and find some evil spirits more wicked than themselves. And they go in and they live there. And then the man has real problems. There are times where the spiritual gift of healing and the spiritual gift of miracles functions, will function apart from faith of the receiver, based on the faith of the one who is giving it. But that's not always true. Most often, it is received by the faith, just trust by the receiver. And when you look through the Gospels, when Jesus healed most often that way, people exercised faith by touching the hem of his garment, by coming to him and asking, by responding to a question he asks, by lowering their friends through a roof. In other words, they came and submitted to his authority. That'd be an all right way to put it? Now, I do not believe that somebody that is truly born again in their spirit can be demonically possessed. However, there's a scripture, it's either 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, and I think it's chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul's talking to the church, and he makes an interesting statement, and he said, we must cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. So what is he saying? There's a point at which even somebody that's born again could be so far down the road that their spirit can become defiled. So that opens up a door to a whole nother thing where I'm not going to go today. However, Christians can and are, and I believe more often than they may realize, than I may realize about myself, oppressed, influenced by demonic activity than we really realize. And most often, it's through those uncrucified thoughts, opinions, and attitudes that have given rest. Why? Because they don't appear overtly demonic to us. Are you with me on this? There's not real, no real major manifestation. There's no, it's difficult to kind of tell. Especially if we've been thinking and believing a certain way for so long. And then what we do is we actually defend these demonic strongholds within us by our excuses, by our lack of humility, by our blaming others and not taking responsibility. You see, even in the Garden of Eden, and like I mentioned a couple weeks back, demons can't just come and take you physically. And, you know, the serpent didn't grab Eve and grab the fruit and shove it in her mouth and make her eat it. What he did is he cloaked himself into a creature that appeared like all the other gods' creatures. The very fact that he spoke was not a shock to Eve. The very thing, the very creature that God has already blessed them to be, have authority over. Here's that word authority again. Adam and Eve submitted to the very thing they delegated their authority, surrendered it. It's probably a little bit better word, that God had given them to rule and reign. Surrendered that in that moment. And what he used, and when you read that, there's only three sentences in English that that serpent said to bring a deception, to get her and him to do something that God had banned. And it was as innocent as just eating a piece of fruit. I think sometimes we miss that. He didn't get them to engage in bestiality, homosexuality. Just eat a piece of fruit that God said not to. It's amazing. And we have so many sympathetic thoughts and attitudes and opinions and belief structures. I've found many in myself over the years. When I'm believing something, just like I gave you that illustration of, you know, doing all those wacky things about commanding money to come and things without being obedient to what God's already said, believing that that would work. And you know, there are Christians that are still doing that 5, 10, 20, 30, 50 years later and still with no results, but they're so convinced it's right. That's a demonic stronghold. When we have belief systems and structures that go contrary to the Word of God. You see, and until we admit that, we have to humble ourselves and repent. That's where we have to start. And I love the Lord because he doesn't like always, you know, dump, sometimes just open up a whole big dump truck and say, here's all your issues. Most often he'll point one or two out and say, let's work on this. Here's a belief system that you have right here. Yeah. Let's. And it's not even just saying, I repent, Father. It's just repent. It's changing. It's turning. It's, you know, it's like the ecclesia thing. When that really hit me and I saw it in the Word and I was like, that's truth. So I can either keep going church or I just repent and turn and start going ecclesia. I got a choice. He revealed that. It's just that simple. When I have a belief system or a structure like the one I gave you and just saying all that, and I was like, hey, I came to my, this isn't working. So let's see if this is actually in the Word. And I didn't find it. I got a choice. I can stand up in front of a bunch of people and say how ignorant I really was and stupid and silly and humble myself and say it didn't work. But here is what works. That's why I shared with you about giving. That works. It just works. When you put your trust in God, that works. The other doesn't work. again, unless God says something specific, you know, to do. So these demons are looking for a resting place. And when they find it, they're at rest. So what is this armor that demons cloak themselves in that are hidden that needs to be stripped away? So once it's stripped away and what they were relying on, they're exposed. And when they're exposed to light, they're like cockroaches. It's everything we've been talking about up until this point. It's those thoughts, those belief systems, those structures that are not from the Word. They're not in alignment with the Lord. Now, I want to show you, before we leave, if you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Last week, I mentioned a divine weapon that God has given us. And that divine weapon, does anybody remember? I only mentioned one that I can remember anyway. Divine weapon. Does anybody remember what that divine weapon God gave, we talked about? God gave us that we talked about last week. I guess I did mention that. But there was one other that I really kind of focused on. In front of the throne is a sea of glass. What was the weapon? Peace. It's peace. In Romans chapter something, 16 verse 20, it says this. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under his feet. The Bible could have said God will crush Satan. Could have. The Bible could have said the God of healing. The King of Kings. The Bible could have used all kinds of different terms and we would have understood it was God doing that. But no, it was specific and it said the God of peace. Wherever you and I lack peace, and I'm talking about divine peace, is those areas we do not have victory over yet. See, once you have peace, and I'm not talking about, you know, a euphoria or, you know, something you get by taking Valium or getting your mind off of it and, you know, getting engaged in something else just to divert your time for, you know, your focus for, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you're in the midst of the storm and you're like Jesus sleeping on the back of the boat. I'm talking about like Jesus, even though he didn't want to go to the cross, he looked beyond it. And all of the disciples, the first apostles that faced crucifixion and death and torture. That's what I'm talking about. When there's chaos and confusion and a storm and a whirlwind and the God of peace, that rock solid peace is residing in your soul. It's the God of peace that will soon crush Satan. While I'm talking about that, let me just share. See, so we're going to need to take that clock down. That's a stronghold I have. I keep looking at that and I try to go faster and cut corners and stuff and I do. I've been doing that for years. It's just, it really messes with me. And then I get all, I don't have peace. I'm all stressed out. I'm under that time constraint. I'm just. All right, what was I talking about? I remember. Look at you, you're funny. What do you want me to do with it? Face it? Face my issue? Huh? That's a nice clock. That's one of those atomic clocks. That's a nice clock. You guys aren't nice. I'm just telling you. You're not nice. You're brutal. Okay, where was I? I remember. How many of you own a car, been in a car, ever driven a car, want to drive a car? That's probably all of you. On your dashboard, you have these things that are called, well, they're not technically called, but these little lights that come on, little ones, and they're in shape and symbols of stuff, and we used to call them idiot lights. And some of them blink, and some of them just come on, red or amber or whatever. And when you're driving your car, and one of these idiot lights come on, oh, that's a cool color. Look at that. That's pretty nice. Sometimes we do those things, don't we? See, God has built into us some warning lights. They're warning lights. They're a gauge. They're something to get our attention to say, hey, there's an issue. There's a problem here. You know, physical pain in your body is just one of those things that He built into our body. That if we have pain somewhere, it's alert. There's some kind of inflammation, something going on that's not right, not normal. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll get a pain, you know, especially as you're getting older, you get all these, you know, weird pain things. But if they stick around for, I better not go here. I was going to say a couple days, because sometimes I'll go a few weeks. But depending on the level of the pain, we'll probably check that out, right? Find out what's going on. Especially, and this is me, if it inhibits what I normally do, and I can't do it, like get out of bed, for instance, because my back's out or something like that. And so we have these warnings and things God has already put into our physical body, but He's also programmed these things in the spiritual sense. And that is, if I've got peace and I'm going along and we're trucking and things are going good, and a situation or circumstance arises, like I did this last week, that I just get so angry and mad. That's a warning light. It's a warning light. There's something going off saying, hey, there's something happening here. Maybe we ought to just investigate this. What's causing this anger? Or it could be a number of things. It could be fear. It could be jealousy. It could be whatever. Greed. That'd be a fun one to talk about, wouldn't it? Yeah. And when these kinds of things come on us and start, I think so often because they're cloaked and they're placed, it could be a fleshly thing, but it could be just, it's an area where that we have allowed a stronghold to erect itself for demonic activity, and they've been at rest there. And then we make all these excuses. Well, that's just me. Well, that was how my dad was. That's how my mom was. That's how, I've always been that way. Well, that's just Frank. Well, if my wife wouldn't have said this, I wouldn't have. If my husband wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have. If my boss, we blame shift and all of these kinds of things instead of just saying, hey, what's going on with me? That's not an easy thing to do. But it's a warning light. And if we would go before the Lord and just say, Lord, would you... What is that? What is causing me that? You remember I gave you the illustration about the weddings and how nervous and stuff I would get? And I finally was like, Lord, that's it. Why does this keep happening? And He revealed to me it was that perfectionistic, you know, spirit kind of in was causing this to go. And so what I have a choice. I have a choice, number one, to do something about it. And when I did, and He revealed what it was, then I have another choice. What am I going to do about that? I repented. Lord, please forgive me. I'm going to focus on You and not how I look or do or feel or, you know, how good something is going to be. And that's a hard thing for me. You know, we get focused, especially those that have any kind of perfectionism going on. And there's a difference between being a perfectionist and being a person of excellence. But we don't have time to get into that. I did the tile floor out there in the foyer. I love doing tile and I love working my hands. I did tile at our old house. I did tile at our new house. And Renee would just get on me all the time because, man, the spaces have to be just right. I don't like bumpy tile. The tile has to be level. And I would peel tile back up before it's set. And I'd make sure, you know, and I'm down there like this doing all of that stuff. And that's being a little overboard. I grant. And the Lord has worked on me a lot. I'm not totally free of that. But my point was, because of that, when I walk into my house, I feel the imperfections with my feet, and I see them with my eye. And people that come into my house, they're not paying attention to the floor. They're just walking on it until I point stuff out. You know, when you see stuff in a picture, a wall of stuff, you know, a lot of times we don't see imperfections until somebody says, hey, Crystal, you want to sit? Look at that. And then all of a sudden our eye is drawn to the imperfection. And then, I don't know if you're like me, but for me, when somebody points that out, I see that unless I deal with it. You know what I mean? It's like I always see something that's wrong. Our house, I hated when a picture in our house or anything was crooked. Okay, I'm a little bit of freakish. I meant that, but I don't like that. When we were building our house and things were just not level exactly, it just irritated me. And I went over and over with it. And I remember Crystal mentioning some things to me. Renee was like, you know what? The world is not perfectly level and straight. You know what? I'm dealt with that now. Several pictures in my house are crooked, and they don't bother me anymore. I just want to let you know that. And it used to be when I come in, I would see it. All of a sudden, I would see what was wrong. And you know what was what happened, what I found out? My focus was off. I brought that into this ministry at first. All of a sudden, everything I was only focusing on the things that were wrong. You know, there are some musicians whose names will be withheld for protecting the guilty, that the sound is so important in quality that it's very difficult to hear the music and enter into. Or when it comes to worship, entering into worship. And you know, it can really become a problem. I'm not saying that we shouldn't notice certain things, but when it becomes the main focus, we're missing. We're missing what is really good. And we're to focus on the Lord. We're to behold the Lord as in a mirror. And that's how we're being transformed, not by beholding everything that's wrong. If we behold everything that's wrong, we are going to be transformed, because you will become like what you behold. For constant meditation. So I'm going to just deal with fear for just a second. If I get fearful over things, and I just have that propensity to be fearful, and then I take it to the Lord, well, I have, and the reason I did it is just because I just happen to have some scriptures about fear. Romans 8:15, for you have not, I have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear. So if I haven't received it from God, where is it coming from? It isn't coming from Him. That word for fear is the word for phobia. But I have received a spirit of adoption as sons, which I cry out, Abba, Father. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given me a spirit of timidity, which is the same word for cowardice or being fearful, but of love, power, and discipline, of sound judgment. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear, same word, phobia. There is no phobia, terror, fright, alarm, torment, and love. But perfect love cast out all phobias, torments. And the one who fears is what? Not perfected in love. So if I'm fearing, what do I need to do? Get my focus off of the fear and onto the love. Because love is a divine weapon that will obliterate fear. Just like if there's chaos and strife in my life all of the time going out. I know nobody here is like this, but you know probably somebody or have known somebody. It's like, man, there's just chaos constantly in their life over and over and over. Do you know something that is not normal? Every one of us will go through periods and seasons in our life. Well, it will be chaotic for a time, but if it's been like that for years constantly and it's just a cycle, there's something wrong. It's an idiot light, a warning light going off. There's something wrong. I don't know what time it is. Except if I look at my iPad, the time's right there on the top. Yeah. What's that? Thank you, Jay. 2 Corinthians 6:7 says this, "The word of truth in the power of God by what? The weapons of righteousness." I asked you to go to Ephesians 6. Are you there? Let's just read this real quick, because I want to leave you with some weapons of righteousness. Oh, whatever. I'm not sure. I think it starts with 12. 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Bless you. Put on the what? Full armor. Not just a piece, not just a couple pieces. Put on the full thing. Put on the full armor of who? Who's it belong to? What kind of armor is it? It's God's armor. It's not my armor. It's God's armor. We're commanded to put all of it on, not just a few pieces. So that you will be able to stand. This armor will enable you and I to stand. Against what? The schemes of the devil. Our struggle's not with flesh and blood. It's not with our spouse. It's not with our parent. It's not with our coworker. It's not with our boss. But it's against what? Rulers, powers, and world forces of this darkness. Against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, we are commanded a second time, take up the full armor of God, so that we will be able to what? Resist in the evil day. And having done everything, having putting on all of this armor, having done everything, stand firm. Stand firm, therefore. What? Let's talk about the armor. Girded your loins with truth. Truth is a part of your armor. It is a weapon of God. Not just knowing truth, not just speaking truth, but it's a character trait of being truthful. Speaking truth. Being someone that is known for telling the truth. Being truthful. These are what? Weapons. 2 Corinthians, we talked about weapons of righteousness. They're character traits. They are Christ-like character traits is what our armor is. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Not just we're righteous because we've accepted God. God, he calls us righteous. That is our title. When we become born again, we are the righteousness of Christ. We are righteous in title. But God wants our character to match our title. And he wants us to walk in righteousness. And it covers our breastplate. It covers our heart. Where am I? And having shod your feet with what? Peace. Peace. Peace is an armor. Peace is a weapon. Peace makes you stand firm. Makes you be solid. Now, that's a big one. We can talk about that one probably for a while. The peace of God, just having that peace and rest. And it doesn't mean it's the lack of conflict. It means in the middle. Right in the middle of it, we have that peace and rest. Why? Because our trust, our love is so intertwined with the Lord. Our trust is so much in him. We know he's for us and not against us. We know he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We know that everything that we are going through, he's right there walking with us. We know that he'll release strategies to us. He'll speak to us. And if he hasn't spoken anything to us, we just stand firm. And we are immovable. Why? Because we are fully clothed in the armor until he says to do something. We don't get all nervous. Because why? Because in the throne where we're seated with Christ is a sea of glass. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith, our trust in God, that you will be able to extinguish every arrow that comes your way by the evil one. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And the helmet. Put on that helmet of salvation over your head. That word salvation means being saved. It's a constant state of salvation. It's not a one-time only. It's you are living in that place of constant salvation. It's an illustration of being in a boat or being somewhere and going through stormy waters. You're in salvation, but you're going through. Being carried safely through to the end. That's salvation. Amen. Philippians 1:28, I read it last week. In no way be alarmed by your opponents. Why? Because you're a man and woman of peace. And when you have that peace, you're no way alarmed by your opponents, whether it be sickness, whether it be disease, whether it be the enemy himself, whether it be people, whether it be nations, whether it be war, famines, earthquakes, that there are any opponent that comes against you, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. And that too from God. You know, it's interesting, too, when we think about it just a little bit. What do so many people in our culture, in the world today, seeking? They're really seeking peace. And why are so many drugs, so many medications available for people today? Why? To give them peace. To give them a place of rest. When God's already provided that place for us. That Sabbath rest for our souls. That shalom peace. It doesn't mean that everything's right, everything's going wonderful, everything's just rocking and right. It doesn't mean that. It means that we can be in the midst of chaos, in the midst of a storm, in a wicked storm. We can be in the valley of the shadow of death and be at rest because we are in a place that God has provided for us. He's making a buffet for us in the midst of our enemies, and we're in such a place that we are at peace and at rest. I want to be there, and I want to dwell there. Not just on Sundays, not just while I'm sleeping because I'm kind of halfway unconscious. I want to be there all of the time, every moment of the day. And you know what? When we're in this place of peace, there are so many benefits, and we don't have the time to go into that either. But I want to tell you, when you're in this place of peace, you can hear more accurately from the Spirit of God. When you're in chaos and you're just all... Okay, here's another one. One more illustration. This is not a good one. Renee's alternator in her car goes out this last week, and her car, her engine sits sideways, and when I looked at where it's at, I'm like, dear Lord, this is not going to be cheap at a, and I'm a cheap person. I don't like paying anybody to do something I can do. And I knew I can do it, but I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how much time is this going to take me? I don't know what, you know, how, get into this. So anyway, I get an alternator, and then I'm here, I'm like, I might as well replace this belt. And I'm having to move this radiator back. It took me somewhere between 5 and 6 hours. The other day, and you know, timing and getting the alternator at 2 o'clock, and you know, having enough time to put it back in, and when I got it, and since I knew how it went out, and I'm telling you what, man, the Japanese are so awesome when they make stuff because it's so precise. You actually, you just about have to lube the whole thing up to slide it in there. You know what I'm talking about? Because it's so, and when I worked on Japanese motorcycles, the same way. It's like, this bolt goes in there there's no other way except this particular way. This part slides in there just right. And the car was like that. I had to loosen the radiator. I'm moving all this stuff back. And I'm thinking, oh my God. I had to take off the right front tire and some of the undercarriage, it was like this thing, and I had other things I had to do, plus I wanted to get to this dinner, so I'm getting all frustrated and aggravated. I get the new altar, I slide this thing in, bolting up, I'm looking at the clock again. I got one in my garage, I'm like, I think I can make this dinner. The last bolt I dropped it 6 times. Every time I dropped it, it landed in this little crevice of the engine. I couldn't see it. It wasn't big enough to get my hand in there. I've got magnets and I've got all kinds of stuff left over from mechanic days. And so I try everything. And I got this little magnet. It wasn't strong enough. And where this bolt went, it had to come out just a certain way. It was like playing Operation, you know. It would hit the side and fall off. And so I got it out 5 of the 6 times. The 6th time, I dropped this bolt. And this bolt was like, I don't even know why they put it there. You know what I mean? Because it would be fine with these other two. I almost left it out. But I was like, no, it's my wife's car. I got to put this back together. Right. Something happens and I did it. No, I can't do that. So I'm putting this, and you can't even see where it goes. You know what I mean? Some of you know where you were. You can't see it. You're doing everything by feel. I dropped it again. Yeah, I'm about to pull my hair out at this point. And I'm seeing time, and it's because I got a lot more left to do, and I'm going to miss this dinner. And it didn't fall where the other 5 times it fell. I can't see. I got my magnet. I'm fishing stuff all around. I'm hitting stuff. I'm trying everything. I get underneath the car. I'm looking for it. I get lights and I'm shining. I can't find this bolt. I go in the house. I said, Renee, I said, you're going to have to go without me because I can't find this bolt. And I've got probably at least an hour, hour and a half left to go on fixing this thing. And I'm, you know, she sees I'm all stressed and I'm just about pulling my hair out. And I'm like, I can't find it. And I'm going to waste a ton more time trying to find it. It's getting dark and still had my garage door open for extra light. And I'm like, I'm going to have to pull this alternator back out. Oh, great. So I pull it back out. I still can't find this bolt. I'm looking even in my bolt collection. I don't have a bolt like that bolt. Yeah, I got all kinds of bolts, but I don't have a bolt like that one. I can't find it. Renee comes out. If you've seen her post on Facebook, which I just saw last night, by the way. Thank you very much. I'm frustrated. She stands in the middle. My truck's in the driveway. Her car is in there. She stands where my truck is. And she said, Father, she started praying for me to find that bolt. You helped me find a wedding ring, which my wedding ring was lost years ago, and this and that. She's praying. I'm frustrated. I'm still looking. I'm trying to agree with her in prayer as I'm. Because it's expected. No, I'm just kidding. And I'm trying to find this thing. She gets in the truck, starts it up. Bam. I mean, it couldn't have been a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And not only did my magnet, I saw it. And I pull it right back out. See, the Lord keeps trying with me over and over. One of these days I'm going to learn. That's why, you know, I've said before that a lot of the things that I teach and like especially right now are stuff that he's dealing with me about. This is not like just a great thing to talk about. It's this that I'm working through this kind of thing too. And so the frustration and aggravation was a warning. But I was so aggravated I didn't listen to the warning. Isn't that interesting? I've had idiot lights come on in my car. It's like, oh, I got to get to this place. And not pay attention to what, you know, I'm going to get to that place until later I can deal with. I'll deal with that later. See, later. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. You're just so good to us, Lord. You're so gentle. You're so kind. You are so patient with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. As we're just praying, and I just want to ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to reveal any other strongholds in our lives. And when he does, just turn from, just repent, just say, Father, forgive me, and and just turn towards him and change, just repent. Now, I want to warn you, and you've probably already noticed this, I probably should have warned you before, that battling strongholds is warfare, and warfare can be pretty ugly at times. So don't be surprised if there's ugliness that arises during your warfare. You know what I mean by that? See, God wants the pus to come to the surface. Just before lunch, it's a beautiful thing. He wants that pus to come to the surface so it can be cleaned out and removed. But in the process of getting that pus out, it could get a little ugly sometimes. Sometimes there's some inner turmoil and inner fighting. And sometimes because of the inner turmoil, we lash out and we speak things and we say things and we do things that could be a little ugly. And sometimes the ones closest to us get the brunt of our ugliness sometimes. I just want you to be aware. That's all. And let's be patient with one another. And let's give room because we want to see healing. We should not muzzle the ox while he's threshing. Threshing is a messy business. Now, authority. I want to come all the way back to that. God has delegated his authority to us. At least we have this realm that we have authority over. That's our own lives. We have authority over our own lives. If nothing else, we have authority over our own life. And God's already delegated it to us. He's already given us that authority and that power. And we're going to have to step up and start exercising that power and that authority over our own life. You have just a couple more minutes. I'm sorry. This illustration just came to me and I want to share it. It's not long. I hadn't been born again more than a year. Some of you have heard this story several times. And I had my very first spiritual dream that I can remember. And it was a horrifying, tormenting spiritual dream. I saw myself laying in bed. I felt like I was there. It was so real. And all of a sudden, up above me, just the face of Jesus appeared and he was looking at me and he was expressionless. He wasn't smiling, crying, sad. And he looked. His steely eyes were just glued right onto me. And as this was happening, a bunch of boa constrictors showed up and were just entwining. And you know what a boa constrictor does? It wraps around its victim and sucks the life out of it. It kills it so it can devour it. And that's exactly how I felt. And I felt being closed in. And I kept yelling out, "Lord, would you do something? Lord, would you do something? Why are you just watching this happen? I'm about to die." And the whole time I'm yelling out at him, asking him to do something, it's getting worse and worse and harder for me to breathe, to the point where I was squeaking, "Do something. I'm going to die." And Jesus, he just looked at me, expressionless, with his eyes peering at my eyes. He didn't say anything. He didn't cry. He didn't turn away. He didn't laugh. He didn't do anything but continue to look. His expression never changed the whole time this was happening to me. And I kept saying, I was so frustrated at him and why he wasn't responding and why he wasn't doing anything. And then all of a sudden, before I felt the life squeezed out of me, and now remember, I hadn't been born again very long. The only thing I knew about authority was the name of Jesus. See, God only expects us to walk in the light that he's already given us. You don't have to be some super, you know, theologian. Just walk in what you have already been given. Up to that point, as far as authority is concerned, all I've been given was the name of Jesus. That's all I knew. And I knew it was powerful. And I knew I had authority to some degree. And so what I said, even squeaking it, I felt like I was about to die. Squeaking it out, I said, "In the name of Jesus, be gone." And immediately those boa constrictors released. And Jesus looked at me and his expression changed. He smiled. He disappeared. And I learned at that very young walk, in my very young age and walk, that he's already given me authority of my life. He's not going to do anything more. And he's watching exactly what's happening to me and expecting me to walk in the authority he's given. And until I do that, I don't want to stand before the Lord and, you know, the Lord said, "Joe, why did you allow that to happen? I gave you the authority." "Well, I was expecting you to do it." That's like going to work and your boss hired you to do a job and you show up to work expecting your boss to do your job. You're not going to last long. So step into the authority that God has given you and begin to exercise that authority over your life.